If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Psalm 1. We're going to spend the summer in the Psalms, okay? We're doing kind of the Louis Linguini top 8 at 8. I picked out some of my favorite Psalms, and we're going to just go through some of those, okay? So if you like to fill in blanks, you can grab this little card here. We'll walk through some things together. The book of Psalms is a book of songs, okay? It is a hymn book. Also, in case you're like my mama and you like to add an S to the end of things, like Walmarts and Belks, it is the book of Psalms, but individually they are a psalm, okay? So it's not Psalms 23, it's just Psalm 23, okay? But it is the book of Psalms. So anyway, that's for clarification for anybody that needs to know that. And there's also in the lobby, there's a copy of what's called a Psalter. This is a book that takes every single psalm, and there's a one-page devotional on every one of them. We would love for you to have this as a gift and say, Happy Mother's Day, or just Happy Sunday, okay, if you're not a mom. But grab one of these if you want to on your way out. But the book of Psalms is a hymn book, okay? It's what it is, and we get to study it. I collect hymnals. That's a weird thing to collect, I know, but I love old hymnals. This is hymnals from 1956, and I was thinking about it this morning. My grandmother, Mama Deal, who was such a huge influence in my life, I remember we'd stay at her house. We'd get up in the morning, and she'd fix us cheese toast, and she'd cut it into four little pieces, and she would always be humming this hymn, When the Roll is Caught Up Yonder. It says, when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved of earth are gathered over on the other shore and the roll is caught up yonder, I'll be there. Just great, a great hymn, great memory. And really, that's this book here, the book of Psalms, it's an eternal hymn book, okay? It's an eternal hymn book about God's faithfulness and about what he calls us to and what he expects from us. Psalm 1, Trimper Longman III, I'm sure you've heard of him. He was a longtime Old Testament professor at Westminster Theological Seminary. He said this about Psalm 1. He said, Psalm 1 deliberately draws two portraits in our minds, the portrait of the wicked man and the portrait of the wise man. And the question then is posed, which are we? As we enter the sanctuary of the Psalms to worship and petition the Lord, whose side are we on? It's a good question. Let's read Psalm 1 together. The psalmist writes, Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall perish. Good word, man. And this two-path deal here, Jesus echoes that in Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus says, Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter it are many. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and there are few who find it. This picture of a blessed man and his ways and how he is different from the wicked and their ways. The word blessed, first blank there if you'd like to fill in these blanks here. The word blessed there, it means a steady or stable happiness and contentment. This is not talking about necessarily like monetary blessing, but this is someone who's content, someone who's stable, someone who's not blown and tossed by whatever's going on in our world. Okay, someone that's not allowing the next election or whatever cultural issue to blow them around as if they are easily moved. The blessed man's stable. The blessed man's content. The blessed man or woman, this could have been called the blessed mom in her ways, but it says man here, so I went with man. But it's not chauvinist at all. The blessed person, okay, is one who's content. One who's not they're stable, right? They're not all over the place. And I think it's interesting that the psalmist, a lot of times when we think about what does it mean to be blessed? What does blessing look like? How do we achieve blessedness? We think about things to do, but the psalmist does the opposite. He tells us, the first thing he tells them is what not to do. Like, the blessed man doesn't do some things. The blessed man's careful with what he does and even More careful what he doesn't do. Okay, he says here, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. All right, these things that he tells them not to do. The first thing there is, he walks not in the counsel of the wicked. Meaning this, and this is a good thing for us, okay? The blessed man doesn't let the world and the wickedness of the world shape his thoughts. Okay? He's not allowing the things of the world to shape how he thinks. Okay? He's careful with what he lets in. He doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked. He doesn't, number two, stand in the way of sinners. Notice this progression here, right? This one that stands in the way of sinners is one who, he's not only is he not, the first step is letting the world shape the way someone thinks. The second one, standing in the way of sinners, this is someone who has moved from listening to wickedness to now agreeing with it, right? Or sits, number three, in the seat of scoffers. This is one who sits in wickedness. He's someone who has now become part of wickedness and is mocking God and God's ways. I didn't plan this. I wish I was smart enough to plan this, but 2 Peter 3 talked about scoffers, and then Psalm 1 talks about scoffers, right? These people that are mocking God with both their words and their lives. And this is progression here. The blessed man, and this is think about it. This is a progression of what a blessed man or woman does not do. It does not allow the world to shape their thoughts. Doesn't agree with the ways of the world. Doesn't sit with scoffers. Doesn't participate in mocking of God and his ways. This blessed man stays away from these things. And I think it is important that you and I hear that. That we ought to be careful what we let shape our thoughts, what we let shape our minds. Because eventually, if we aren't careful, what we're allowing to shape our mind, we will start agreeing with. And then if we aren't careful, we will join in with. So we have to be careful with that. The last point under this section is this. The drift towards this destruction is a slow one. So we need to be careful what we're letting influence us. Key word there is letting. And I would just tell you, okay, as your pastor and your friend, something's influencing you. We're all being discipled by something. All of it, we're being discipled by something. And if you want to know what that is, look at the screen time app on your phone. You'll find out what it is. It'll hurt, right? Might hurt a little bit. But we're all being discipled by something. It's by something on our phone. It's by something on cable TV. It's by people. We're all being discipled. The question is, what is discipling us? And what am I letting it happen? Okay, what am I letting influence me? I need to be careful that I'm not doing this, that I'm not standing in the way of sinners. I'm not sitting in the seat of scoffers. I'm not walking in counsel of wicked. I gotta be careful that I'm not doing that. That is where the psalmist starts. The blessed man is careful with what he lets influence him. Instead, he says his delight's in the law of the Lord. We all are being discipled by something or someone. Proverbs 4 says this, do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk on the way of evil. Avoid it. Avoid it. Don't go on in it. Turn away from it and pass on. Paul tells the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, don't be deceived. And anytime the Bible says don't be deceived, I take note of it, okay? Because what he's saying is don't lie to yourself, okay? Don't lie to yourself. Bad company corrupts good morals. Like, don't tell yourself, well, that's not going to affect me, because I'm strong enough for it not to affect me. Paul says, don't lie to yourself. You're not strong enough to not let that affect you. You're not. You got to be careful with what you allow in, what you let influence you. Instead, he says, okay, so blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. The good news, but, he says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law, he meditates day and night. Instead, the blessed man delights and meditates on God's word. He delights in it, and he meditates on it. He delights in God's word, saying this, that reading God's word is not something I have to do. Reading God's word is something I get to do. Now, I know that might be a stretch for some, okay? But look, man, I hope that we take God's word for granted, and I'm number one on the team that does that. Okay, we take God's, we take the fact that the sovereign king of this universe, who the maker of heaven and earth, the one who sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, who has adopted, forgiven us our sins and adopted us into his family, who we're going to go spend eternity with, he has not left us to wonder what he's like. And he's not left us to wonder what he would have from us, but he has given us his word. I mean, it should be a delight for us to read the Bible. Okay, it should be a delight for us. It shouldn't be something that we're checking a box on. And if that's not where you are right now, that's okay. My prayer is that you could walk towards that, okay? That you could learn to love it, learn to delight in God's word, and not just to delight in it, but to meditate on it. And this is a picture of a cow just chewing and chewing and chewing, right? This is chewing on God's word all day long. That it's something that's in my head that I'm thinking about, that I'm marinating on. This is what a blessed man does, okay? A blessed man does not walk with the wicked, doesn't stand with sinners, doesn't sit with scoffers. Instead, the blessed man, his delight is not in conflict. His delight is not in whatever this is over here. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law, he meditates day and night. Joshua 1 says this, "The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then, if you do that, you'll make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Psalm 119 says this, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimony are my meditation." The blessed man delights in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. And what is the result of that? What is the result of that? The result is a deeply rooted, fruitful, prosperous life. He's like a tree, the psalmist says. All right? The blessed man is one who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. He doesn't stand in the way of sinners. He doesn't sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. And the one that does this, he says, is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in a season, and its leaf doesn't wither. And all that he does, he prospers. This is what the blessed man is, and this is the kind of life that this kind of man that delights and meditates in God's word produces: a deeply rooted, that we're not going to fall over, fruitful, prosperous life. That sounds awesome. Well, how does one achieve that? By the work of the Spirit in you, right? As you read God's word, as you meditate on God's word, as you delight in God's word, as you obey God's word, God's going to grow you into a tree. And like we've talked about this before, you know, you don't watch trees grow. If you do, you're crazy. Like if you went outside and were like, "I'm just going to sit around and watch these trees grow today. It's a pretty cool day. Not much of it." No, you don't watch trees grow. But you know they're growing. Like you know they're growing. Because you go back and look 15 years from now, look 20 years from now, look 30 years from now, you see the evidence that this tree has grown. And look, the same is true of us spiritually. I think so many things, and man, maybe you first trust Jesus, or man, you go to college and you really start walking with Jesus and you start growing really quickly, and that's awesome, okay? And then you're 30, okay? And you got a wife and some kids and a mortgage, right? And then you're 45 and your oldest is graduating high school, right? And it might not seem like you don't see a lot of growth, but that's the case with trees, right? That's the case with trees. You don't see growth, but growth is there. And what you can rest in is if you continue to delight in and meditate on God's word, God is going to make you into a tree, deeply rooted tree, fruitful tree, yielding its fruit in its season. Leaf doesn't wither, and all that he does, he prospers. Like this is what God is promising to do to men and women who put their trust in and rest in him. Jeremiah 17 says this, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord," he says. "He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its root by the stream, and does not fear. This is good. Doesn't fear when heat comes. For its leaves remain green, and it's not anxious in the years of drought. It does not cease to bear fruit. Right? This is, Miss Pam, this is what we were just talking about, right? Mr. Tom, Miss Pam going through a season of difficulty with some health, but they're not worried because of this. Right? But the heat's come, right? But you're planted, you're rooted, you're resting in that. Great example for me and all of us. We all need that. As we've built our lives on Jesus, as we've delighted in and meditated on God's word, we can rest when the heat comes. We have deep roots. It's going to be okay. God's working through all these things, right? We can rest in that. And that doesn't happen overnight, okay? It doesn't happen overnight, but it does happen for the blessed man and woman who have put their delight in the Lord. That's what we can rest in. Jesus says it also in John 15. He says, abide in me and I also in you. I am, as a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Because Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For, great word here, apart from me, Jesus says, you can do nothing. This is what the blessed life looks like. A deeply rooted, fruitful, prosperous life. But he goes on and says here, this is a great juxtaposition here from the psalmist. He says, verse 4, the wicked are not so, but they're like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. This juxtaposition here of a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, its leaf doesn't wither, and all he does, he prospers. The wicked are like chaff, okay? Which is completely rootless, worthless, and blown away by the slightest wind. This, you know what the righteous or the blessed man and the wicked have in common? Nothing. They have nothing in common, according to Psalm 1. One, deeply rooted, fruitful, helpful, prosperous. The other, worthless, blown and tossed by the wind. Right? Just no value. That's the picture here. A completely rootless, worthless, blown away by the slightest wind. And by the way, that's what every one of us were until we trusted in Jesus, right? Like, this is not casting judgment, it's the reality. One, the one who delights in the Lord and delights in his word is like a tree. The one who doesn't is blown and tossed by the wind. They're like chaff that the wicked drives away. And that wickedness, next point there, is this. The ultimate end of that is going to be judgment and death, according to the psalmist. It says, the wicked are not so. They're like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in judgment, or sinners in the congregation. It's not, there's judgment waiting them, those who have not put their hope in the Lord. And the last point there is this. This is not a long sermon. Happy Mother's Day, all right? He says at the end here, no one's going to fool God. No, nobody can fool him. You're not going to fool him. He knows those that love him, and he knows those that trust him. He says, the Lord knows the way of the righteous. You're not fooling God. You're not acting like a tree when really you're chaff. He knows. You think he doesn't know? He knows. You might fool everybody here. You might fool me. There's been plenty of people that fooled me really well, all right? Some of you worked here at one point. You're not fooling God. You're not fooling him. If you're chaff trying to act like a tree, he knows the way of the righteous. He knows all these things. We're not going to fool him. We need to put our hope in him and trust that he's going to take me, who's a worthless piece of chaff, right? And he's going to plant me, and he's going to grow me. And eventually, I'm going to become a tree, deep roots, fruit, prosperous. That's what he does. Four takeaways, and we're done, okay? I'll let you beat the Methodist to the steakhouse, all right? Or the Baptist or whoever, all right? 4 points I would encourage you with here. You need to be really careful what you let influence you, okay? You need to be really, 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 really careful. Because something's influencing you. And you need to be careful with what that is. We all need to be careful, okay? On every side of every issue, okay? We need to be careful what we're letting influence us, because there are things that are discipling us, that are leading us astray, and we need to watch out for that for ourselves and for our families. Be really careful what we're letting influence us. Two, learn to delight in God's word. Learning to delight in God. Can I tell you, if you're like, man, I have never gotten into reading the Bible, that's fine, okay? No judgment here. But let's get into it, okay? Let's try to work on that. Might be a good thing to do, okay? To delight in God's word. And if you don't know how to do that, I would like to give you a gift, okay? I would encourage you, you know what I would encourage you to do this week? Read Psalm 1. Just read it. Read it today. Read it tomorrow. Read it all week, okay? And maybe one day, just read this one-page devotional that'll help you understand it a little bit better, if the sermon didn't, all right? And you know what I do next week? Read whatever psalm we're doing next week. And the next week, same thing, all right? You don't have to go, I'm gonna read the whole Bible this summer, because you're not, all right? You're probably not, right? So chill out, all right? And just read something and learn to delight in God's word together. Number three, plant yourself in a community around people that love Jesus. Like, something that we tell our kids, something that Matthew teaches our youth, is that your friends will help determine the direction and quality of your life. Your friends will help determine the direction and quality of your life, because you become like what you're around. So I want to be around people that love Jesus. I want to be around men who've been married for 40 years and still love their wives, and their wives love them, right? Like, I want to go, hey, let me see. I want to know what that's about, because that's what I want. Because you become what you're around. Your friends will help determine the direction and quality of your life. So plant yourself in a community around other people that are walking with Jesus, because they can help you walk with Jesus, right? And then the last one, this is for your heart. Just know, wherever you are and whatever you do, God sees you and he knows you, okay? And if you've trusted in Jesus, he's working on your behalf. You can rest in that. Right? He sees you. He knows you. He knows the way of the righteous. And so put your hope and your faith in Jesus. So here's the invitation, okay? The invitation is simple, and it's this on Mother's Day. And if you've never trusted Christ, and the invitation is to trust him. He will take you, chaff, just like he did me, chaff, and turn us into a tree. He's going to plant us by streams of water. Right? That he would do this in us. And so if you've never trusted Christ, this is the invitation. There's two paths, okay? There's the path of the wicked and the path of the blessed. And the path of the blessed is one that's trusted in Jesus. And look, hear this, cultural Southern Christians, okay? There's not a path of the moral. There's not a third path. It doesn't exist. The path is of those who have trusted in Jesus and those who don't. The wicked and the righteous. So if you've never trusted Christ, the invitation is to confess with your mouth this morning that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead so that you would be saved, okay? Romans 10. And if you have trusted Jesus, my prayer is that together we can help each other delight in God and who he is, delight in his word, walk with him, and trust that he's going to grow us into strong, prosperous, fruitful trees for his glory and for the good of this world. And I pray that we can help each other to do that. Let's pray together. So, Father, thank you for this psalm. Thank you for the book of Psalms. Thank you that we get to read them and study them this summer and hopefully know more about you and more about ourselves as we do that. God, help us to trust you and know that you will make us into stable, content men and women that delight in your law, that aren't influenced by all these outside things, but are trusting in and resting in who you are and who you've called us to be. And Lord, I need help with that. We all need help with that. So God, I pray we can help each other to believe that and rest in that together. And Lord, for the one who has not trusted in Jesus, I pray that this morning they would see and hear this and you would cause the scales to fall off their eyes and they'd put their hope and their faith in Jesus. And I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.